Welcome to the Retzel Health Law Hotspot. Health Law Hotspot is a podcast for physicians and health professionals that covers the legal issues and trends that affect the healthcare industry.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Health Law Hotspot. I'm Erica Adler, shareholder at Retzel & Andrus and leader of our healthcare practice. Today, I am joined by Doug McKinley. Doug is going to be talking with us today about how clinicians can become leaders within their organization. Over the past 20 years, Doug has invested his time in coaching and developing hundreds of leaders and senior teams nationally. He now serves companies as an independent leadership pathfinding consultant. He holds a doctorate degree in clinical psychology, is a master certified coach from the International Coach Federation, and is the author of two books and numerous training manuals and articles on leadership development. Welcome, Doug.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
I think today this is such a great topic, and a lot of our listeners are really going to be interested in this.
I hope so.
What we're really talking about here is how physicians who may or who are all trained to be doctors can really take either their practice or their role in a bigger organization to the next level by becoming a leader, which is something that, you know, some people possess some natural skills and some don't. And some people need to really learn it, I guess, right? I'm sure you're going to speak to that. So tell us, what are some of the principles or paradigm shifts that are needed for physicians to move away from just being clinicians to working in some type of leadership capacity? And why would they want to do this?
That's a good question. Yeah, happy to. I think, first of all, they have to want to, right? So there's some great clinicians out there that are being told they should make this shift, and they don't really want to. They really enjoy patient care. And I love that. I think stay where you're at. So, however, if the circumstances are such that you are being invited into and you want to make transitions, I just want them to be aware, Erica, that it's something that is different. And you can't assume that what got you here as a medical professional is going to get you there, which is, I know that's sophisticated, but it's not that being a medical clinician is not going to get you to a leadership role, at least being effective at it. And so the first one is just imagine and picture that it's a completely different skill and toolkit required to do so.
So, and when we talk about a leader, it doesn't have to be, you know, working at a hospital in an administrative position. Right. We need good leaders even within smaller practices as well. It's, you know, some people are great doctors and great people, but they aren't necessarily great leaders. So how do you see leadership skills playing a role in different types of environments, and where might a physician use it where they might not expect it necessarily?
Yeah, I love that. I think there's leaders at every level in every size organization. And I personally don't even think leadership is optional. I think we're probably leading somebody all the time. And so it's just whether we want to be intentional or not. And so my first response is I tend to think about this in terms of being versus doing, that real leadership, my conviction is that people follow you. In other words, if you're leading me, I'm going to follow you more because of who you are, or at least as much as what you do. And so if you really want to get people to follow you, because if you're out leading and nobody's following you, you're just taking a walk, right? You're not.
Exactly.
A lot of doctors, especially, think because they're a doctor, people should follow them.
Right.
And in a small practice where you work for them, that's true because of out of role-based hierarchy.
Right.
Not in a larger system. Just because you're a doctor, you're one of thousands in some healthcare systems. So
Right. People
follow you more because of who you are than what you do. So that's the first shift as we have to think about is I'm moving away from my craft, my doing, the expertise I bring, to I'm becoming somebody you want to follow. So it involves things like character and emotional intelligence and approachability, things
right.
like that.
I think that's really interesting because a lot of people, you know, not in larger organizations, but in small, tend to inherit leadership roles, whether or not they have the skills right. or the personality to take it on. And that can lead to conflict, disorganization, lack of success, lack of respect for the leader in that role. So sure. Let's say though that you're in an organization, big or small, and you decide you really do want to be a leader. You admire the other leaders amongst you. You like doing some of those tasks that you would be taking on as a leader. Maybe they're administrative, maybe they're heading up committees or whatever it is. What do you need to do to get to that next level?
Yeah, so I like the shift. I think the paradigm shift from doing to being is a first step. Understand that in a leadership role, your being is if not as important, more important than your doing. So now you have to think about, who am I? What is my purpose? What's my main leadership message? So be making a distinctive shift away from the role that I play as doctor to now I'm actually inviting people to follow me, which is, you know, very different than compliance. A lot of leaders think people follow you because of compliance, and some do. That's true, but it's not sustainable. The second one is, I think I mentioned this on a discussion that you and I had earlier, that I read a book called E-Myth many years ago by Michael Gerber. And it's about, the E is entrepreneurialism, but it's about physicians understanding that you have to move from working in the business to on the business. And so I know it sounds subtle when I watch you listening to me, I'm like, it's a big deal, because I'm doing medical interventions and medical research or medical education, but now being a leader requires me to work on things much broader. So when I step into a medical team committee meeting that I'm leading, I no longer can think just like what I do in my day job. Now I have to think about all the constituents, all the stakeholders that are involved in that. So working on the business is a very different skill set than working in the business.
So I know you mentioned sometimes there's a struggle, you know, in that move from clinician to leader. Can you speak to that? What kind of struggle are we talking about?
I think the largest one, and I'm embarrassed to say this, I hope it's I mean it in love and kindness, but there's just not a whole lot of role modeling. There's not a lot of mentoring around this. I was talking about this with a physician leader last week. I talked about the difference between a reward-centered leader and a responsible leader. And a reward-centered is status, ego, you know, control, and a responsible leader is doing what's necessary. And I introduced this concept, and the doctor sat back and he said to me, he goes, I don't think there's many of those responsible centered leaders in our healthcare organization. It's a common name that all of you would know. And I responded, I'm sad to say you might be right. So I think the lack of mentoring, I think for sure there's been no mentoring, there's also been very little training. I see this high affinity and attraction to MBA schools. I don't know. Do you have an MBA too, Erica?
No, I don't.
I see it in law and in physician. Everybody's running to get an MBA, and that's nice. It's giving you the business acumen, but it's really not. They don't include things like organizational change and managing hard conversations or uncomfortable conversations or just leadership. So I think training is another one. I think the struggle is real. There's been very little modeling, very little training. And second and third, honestly, what attracts them to science and medicine is their left brain, you know, they're scientists. They like to just study things and do things. Right. And leadership is an art and a science. And so it requires a different DNA in some sense, or at least affinity to that.
Right. And so not everybody has that. And sometimes people try to be the leaders when they don't really necessarily have those skills. And they don't recognize that they don't have them either, you know, and that's, I think, part of the problem as well. So how do you help physicians then who decide they do want to be leaders? And do you ever tell doctors, you know, I think you're great. I love that you want to do this, but I think you should stick with being a clinician instead?
I do. I think that I love this phrase, but clarity, kindness and honesty, kindness is clarity. I mean, it's helpful, right? So I think the first thing I start with is self-awareness, Erica. I really want to ask some questions like what's the end game? What are you looking for? What's the purpose of making shift? You know what clinicians usually tell me? no one else is willing to step up. And so I think you're right. I think a lot of physicians end up in leadership, nurses as well. I work with a lot of executive nurses. Nobody else was willing to step up. I needed to. And so if that's true, the self-awareness that you talked about a minute ago, we really need to expose that and illuminate what are my gaps, what are the things my blind spots, and then shore them up. I don't think you're born to be a leader. I never have believed that. I think you can develop into leadership, but you got to be self-aware enough to know that and then upskill, right? You got to actually develop some skills to do it. So that's how I start with self-awareness. Sometimes I encourage them to shadow great leaders, to find leaders that they value. Of course, most physicians read medical journals. So I'm shifting them away from that into podcasts like this and books on leadership and emotional intelligence. So those are some of the ways. And of course, one-on-one coaching, which is very popular right now.
And do you find that physicians are quick to pick up those skills, or is it sometimes more of a challenge than you might have expected? And do physicians ever say, I don't think I'm cut out for this, after kind of going through that process? Like, their self-realization is different than you might have hoped or expected when you first started out on that path?
Yeah, I'd say that part is probably the same as it would be with the normal population. I actually do find I enjoy working with your field, with attorneys, and with physicians, because you're really bright people. I mean, you had to be to get through the rigor of your education. So if I can appeal to that learning mechanism in your brain, I find physicians to be extremely coachable and open most of the time. There are a few. If there's truly is a narcissism that's developed, not just a tendency, but actually a diagnosable narcissism, or any kind of hero condition where the ego is just so has been stoked for so long, there's certainly times when it doesn't work. And a few of my physicians have said, that's not for me.
Right. A lot of the doctors that I work with, in the small practices, sometimes it's always the most senior doctor who's expected to take on that role. And right, sometimes they're not qualified for it. But the motivation I see really, maybe more in the hospital setting, but sometimes in larger practices as well, is a desire, really use other skills that they believe they have. They may be a little bit burned out, particularly these days practicing medicine. So where I see people that can switch maybe, half clinical, half administrative, maybe get paid for some of that administrative time. Maybe it's more money. Maybe they're actually taking a cut because they're spending time doing administrative. But usually it's people who really have kind of thought through those changes and see them in that position. And I see it becoming more and more popular among my physicians. And I don't know if it's just a trend where doctors, as I mentioned, are really getting burned out and are looking for a way to kind of keep their hand in medicine, but maybe not be that full-time practitioner they once thought they would always be. Do you see anyone coming to you who's looking to do leadership because they're really just burned out from being a doctor, or are those completely separate situations in your mind?
Oh, no, I think there's definitely a trend that way. A lot of us, I don't know if this was true of you, but a lot of us, when we grew up, our parents told us to either be a doctor, an accountant or an attorney, right? Those are the big three. I was born in 1962. And I do work with a lot of professionals that felt the pressure to go into those careers that would have rather been a musician or, a fireman or something. So I think there's many, many highly successful people that have put their ladder against the wrong wall and just they find themselves to not be in the role. I think that's a small portion of the people. I think the bigger one is that there's just an absence of leadership, and physicians especially, Erica, feel like they need to have input, because we went from physician dominant medical care. The last 20 years, it's really become administrative dominant. Hospitals have really picked up their game, and they're employing the physicians now. And I think the physicians are like, wait a minute. I'd like to have a seat at the table and at least have some input, which I agree with. I think we need more physician leaders. I beg physicians all the time to step up, because we need to hear from them, right? Equally with administration.
Definitely. I mean, we want to see a change in healthcare in this country, which I know everyone does, myself included, we really need to see physicians in more of those decision-making roles. I don't know if we'll be able to undo, I don't want to call it damage, but undo some of what's been done. But it certainly can only help to have physicians making some of those decisions in a more conscious way and thinking about the impact on their peers and their colleagues, nurses, and otherwise, you know, some of the fiscal decisions, some of the administrative decisions that have really kind of been made in a vacuum without, you know, from a business perspective. I see a lot of that, and I don't know if you work at all with private equity, but some private equity companies, they come in and they take over a practice, right? And there was a physician culture there, good or bad, and they come in and they're just like, you know, we're going to do, you know, you're going to do exactly what we tell you to do because we need to make more money. And I had a conversation last week where I had a doctor who, you know, wanted to have a couple more days off in her schedule. And they said, every day you don't work is less money you make for us. And I think that's right there, the contradiction between physicians wanting to practice medicine, have quality of life, and, you know, business leaders who aren't doctors wanting to make as much money as possible off the doctors. And there's a little bit of a conflict there. So I definitely think that that's something for potential physician leadership out there to think about, you know, whether they have the skills to kind of step into that role. Do you feel like they're being invited to take on those roles though? Or is that something they have to fight for? Are they really looking for doctors to fill those roles? What do you see in that area?
Well, that's a wonderful question. I was on a podcast recently where we discussed that. The physicians would say that they're not being invited enough, and the administration would say they invite them constantly and they don't show up. So I think there's a tension that's probably healthy. Physicians, because they're working in the business, don't recognize the importance of a strategy meeting that they need to be at. They miss it, and then they feel left out. So it's a tough place. I don't know the answer. I would say it's probably both. I mean, I think we need to be invitational, but physicians also have to look up every now and then and make sure they're influencing working on the business as much as they are in it. Yeah.
Do you feel, and I don't know if anybody's ever asked you this, that there's just as much leadership opportunity for women physicians as there is for men? And some women doctors I work with are great leaders, but I definitely see more men stepping into those leadership positions. And I don't know if it's a time commitment type thing, because a lot of women doctors, you know, have families and, you know, just, you know, they tend to sometimes during their younger years focus on that quite a bit. But is that opportunity out there evenly for both, or are we still seeing a little bit of old-fashioned preference for male doctors?
Yeah, I would be just absolutely flat-faced lying if I said it was equal. I think there's earnest attempts to try to make change there, but we fall so short. And obviously this last 18 months has given all of us a wake-up call to our implicit biases and all the things that are, you know, playing into that. I think females are great, make great leaders, and we need to continue to invite. I think they have historically had a more complex lifestyle to manage. So I do think it's sometimes wisely they're choosing family where men maybe haven't. I mean, I hate to say that out loud, but.
No, I think it's true. Yeah,
traditional roles.
But they may not be seeking those roles because they may have too much on their plate. I mean, as much as everybody's even, I still think it tends to be the women. I speak for myself, as my husband and I both work, but I tend to still want to put my family first too. So I totally get that. But I think leadership, and I hope anybody listening to this sees that any of them can be a leader. And I guess
absolutely.
One of the final questions I really want to ask you is, if they do make that leap from clinician to leader, what's in it for them? It's not
a lot of headache.
What's in it for them?
It's not going to be money all the time, although. In the health system, you know, the big positions, the CMOs and that, they do quite well. So I think it's, I think the flexibility you talked about gives you some career options is nice. I think the biggest value is you're going to feel like you're now a seat at the table. You know, you're in the Knights of the Round Table. You feel a part of something meaningful. And the voice that you have is going to be so needed that you're going to derive great meaning from it. But I think career flexibility, financial would probably be more relief of some maybe doing one or two less clinics a week, like your colleague was saying, that might be helpful just in terms of lifestyle analysis and how you want to spend your time. So yeah, I think it's a great option, but it's not for everybody in the sense, I think everybody's capable, but it's not for everybody.
I think that's probably very true. Any final thoughts on this topic that you want to share with us?
Yeah, I would love to just say to, if physicians are watching this, we need you. Step up. If you have any, even an ounce of affinity towards what you're hearing, take a course, you know, hire a coach, listen to podcasts, find out, because we do need you. We need the physician voice to remain prominent in the right ways with the right people. You're still very prominent. You have in our society, you still have high regard, but it's, you know, some of those decision rights have been removed in the name of, you know, being more fiscally responsible. So step up. We need you. If you have any affinity at all, welcome.
Well, that was great advice. And we want to thank Doug for being with us today. This is such a great topic. I hope we get some really good feedback on it. And thanks as always for joining us on the Health Law Hotspot. You can check out all of our prior podcasts and find out more at ralaw.com. Thanks. We'll see you next time.
Thank you.
The Retzel Health Law Hotspot is made available by the firm and its attorneys for educational purposes and to provide general information, not to provide specific legal advice. Use of the Retzel Health Law Hotspot does not create an attorney-client relationship between you and the firm or any of its attorneys. The Retzel Health Law Hotspot should not be used as a substitute for competent legal advice, and you should contact an attorney in your state about any legal needs or questions you may have.